Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they come.
This or that. This or that. This or that. This or that. This or that.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? On an FEA Friday, that's F-H-E-A-H.
Yeah.
Friday. And no FEA Friday is complete without the services of one Keenan McCardell to my right. He's got the offense. I got the special teams. Our man on defense is missing in action, Travis Johnson. I assume somewhere between a drive-through window and a cigar and a coffee, we'll find him making his way to the studio momentarily.
No in route?
You want to get into that?
No in route? No, it's spell check. Let's go. Keep going.
Yeah. He really wanted to do that because that's going to be on you. I had texted the guys because no one let me know if they were even coming in today. I thought it was just going to be me and Nick for 3 hours. And
why would we leave you out? Why would we leave you and Nick
That's a
alone?
Great question. Why don't you respond on a more frequent basis?
Well, at 5 o'clock.
It's not autograph seekers or PR people trying to get you to do
you
free
just,
appearances.
You're just up
answer.
At 5 o'clock because the baby woke
I got
up.
Kids. Yeah, I got a kid. She's got needs.
What did Travis say? Nobody's up at 5 o'clock like that.
And I say, beasts never sleep. So there you go. Well, let me lay it out for you.
And I laugh.
And so I said, where are you? And he says, in route. I-N-R-O-U-T-E.
It was a joke. I was running an
it
in
route. It
wasn't
a joke. He's trying to cover it up.
I was running an in route like Julio
about.
Jones.
By the way, we've got Calvin Watkins from ESPN, who is the ESPN Houston Rockets beat writer. So
good.
We'll have him at 1:30 talking about a great hot start for the Rockets. The Demo situation is somewhat over now, as the Rockets have renounced and let him go. But at the same time, I talked to Demo last night, and he said he can't come on the air with us until he meets with the NBA Players Association, and then after the official statement, so that they can try and get some clarity and figure out what they're going to do next. But then he promises he will be on the show. So I would say I was hoping for today, but it'll probably be next week. You know, the first thing that took me back was last night, Mac, and I'm sure you saw some of it, but the whole Craig Sager thing.
Yes.
And I really commend TNT once again for thinking outside of the box. And basically, the video tribute was great, and you wanted to hear from those guys in the studio. And it's a shame. Ernie's got something going on, and thank God. I don't think it's with him personally health-wise, but a relative or close friend. Somebody's going through something where he's not there. But he should have been there because he was as tight with Sags for a long time as anyone. But I love the fact that for the first 4 minutes of the Bucks-Bulls game,
right,
they never talked about the game. If you wanted to watch it, it was on. But all they did was talk about Craig Sager memories and moments, and I thought that was special. I thought what Steve Kerr did, an ex-TNT employee,
right,
instead of a moment of silence, have a standing ovation and a moment of appreciation for how much Craig Sager enjoyed life. I thought those were, you know, the quote that I kept going back to that I tweeted was, at the end of his speech at the ESPYs, time is how you live your life. I mean, nothing could be more on target than that. I mean, and he lived his life to the fullest, to the very end. And as Charles said, there's no one on this planet that he's ever seen that wanted to live more than Craig Sager. So a really touching tribute. I like the fact that the league, who's normally the uniform police,
right,
not so much as some
not
other
as much
leagues,
as the NFL.
Not like the NFL,
yeah,
but allowed any and every player that wanted to wear the Craig Sager t-shirts last night to wear them, which I thought was really, really cool. So, you know, they did all that, a really nice touch by the league, and then, again, to have everybody be able to comment and share their feelings throughout the night, both players and the broadcasters, was cool.
It was really cool. I think you know, he brought life to TNT.
Mm-hmm.
He brought an angle from his flair with his dressing, and the players loved it because they dress like that sometimes. And so, you know, for TNT to do that, they really recognized exactly what Sager meant to that. To that organization, to TNT, and to the NBA, you know. So, I mean, I put on my Facebook, you know, rest in peace, Craig Sager, and I got unbelievable amount of hits because everybody knows when you talk about a courtside reporter, it's nobody but him, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I translated it to like everybody who thinks Craig Sager was the guy in the loud suits, or you know, it's the same way when you look at everybody thinks Calvin Murphy is the same guy. Murph's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah,
you know, Murph's got a lot. Craig Sager, he transcended not just basketball, but everybody in sports knew who Craig Sager was.
No doubt.
And yes, the suits helped. But I think my good friend that was the Rockets PR guy forever is now the VP of PR for the NBA. He talked about how he was a 23-year-old punk kid getting into the league, thought he was over his head, and could not ever forget how Craig Sager made him feel important, encouraged him that he could always do the job, and was always there for him. That's the kind of thing, the stories you're hearing about Craig Sager, the human being, the father, the husband, the guy that went out of his way even when he was dealing with all of the adversity with trying to beat cancer, but yet he was out trying to encourage others. He broke out of the hospital literally so he could go to the USA basketball game here.
Yes.
And he goes, he got a standing ovation. He goes into the locker room afterwards just to try and say hi, and the best team in the world is lined up trying to get to him to give him a hug and see how he's doing. That's pretty. That says a lot. That's pretty special.
I remember the first time I met him. I mean, you know, it was a honor for me to meet him. But he knew who I was, and I was just kind of like, man, I'm in awe just to meet you because you are the guy that, because I love basketball too.
Yep.
So, you know, you're the guy on the sideline that has the funny suits, you know, the socks and all that, and the shoes. He had a whole wardrobe.
Yep.
He had to tote it, and I just was amazed just to meet him because he's a special person. And when you listen to the things, you know, what he said about going when he was at MD Anderson, you know, he said he would walk by the kids part of the hospital.
The ward, yep.
The ward, kids ward. And he would just look at the train go around and around. You know, that was just part of his walk back to the hospital. And, you know, it meant something. You know, he was trying his best to get healthy.
Yeah, and he said that train meant a lot to him.
Yes.
And was something that he always went out of his way to walk around and see and spend time with. So it was important, and I thought it was important because, you know, people, as I said yesterday, and we were lucky enough to have Coach McHale, and I was lucky enough to break Rudy T. the nose. He didn't even know.
Wow.
And those guys got to comment on it. But when you realize a guy that's touched that's so many lives, but the thing is the overwhelming story, and it happened here in Houston because of the fact that he was getting treatment, but we all say we've got this going on in our life. This is bad. You got to take time to step back and say, you got to be thankful for every day you're given on this planet.
Yes.
That you have loved ones around you and that you're healthy. It's not as bad as it may seem. And when you think about what Craig did and how many transplants and how many times, just because he wanted to stick around for his family and those close to him, man, we got a ton to be thankful for. And in the season of giving in the holidays, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, I'm thankful for the fact that Travis Johnson finally got here, too. I mean, that's like an early Christmas present all in itself.
I'm telling you, I'm acting like somebody else. But, you know, man, the kids mess with the clock.
But you're funny.
The kids mess with the clock in the day in the truck. I've been sitting downstairs smoking a cigar for the last 30 minutes.
What did I tell you?
We said
what
cigar,
did I tell
right?
You? Yeah, I said you were stuck somewhere between a drive-through line and a cigar and a coffee.
No, I'm sitting right downstairs smoking an Avo Fogata, man, and drinking some coffee. And I'm sitting there like, I seen Dale walk downstairs. I'm like, Dale, what you doing off there? You got another hour. He's like, no, it's 1:05.
And there in a nutshell is the teacher's excuse and the dog ate his homework.
Just hey, bring the apple.
Oh, no, I'm late. Teacher. I ain't tripping. I'm
yeah.
late.
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you. We're here till 4 o'clock. We've got Calvin Watkins, ESPN Rockets beat writer at 1:30. We've got plenty to get to. We've got Richard Sherman's little antics last night. You had two guys who have been there and done that in terms of being in this league long enough to have a comment on that. We've got Texans Jaguars, the team that Keenan's obviously very familiar with, was just in Jacksonville last weekend. Tons to talk about with the Rockets. Tons to get to with Nick because we have Nick picks, and those are always special. especially after the way I annihilated the competition last week. So we've got plenty to get to in a long show on a F Yeah Friday. Why don't you join us? 713-780-ESPN for text and calls, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Keenan McCardell, and Nick Sherrod behind the glass. If you want to reach us via Twitter, at PacManJoel with a K, at Keenan McCardell, at TrapJ99, and at NoHitNick. We always check Twitter throughout the show, and if there are good tweets, we will get them involved in the show. And with Calvin Watkins coming up at 1:30, the ESPN beat writer for the Houston Rockets, I thought it apropos to talk a little bit about the fact that we mentioned the Demo situation is now hopefully almost all resolved. The Rockets renouncing him and letting him be an unrestricted free agent. Trapp and I have taken a lot of commentary on Twitter based on our Monday show and the comments. And I just want to take a little Just a quick second or two here to kind of wrap things up on that, put a bow on it. We know there's a lot of passionate Rockets fans. You're not going to get more accurate and solid basketball talk on an honest, consistent basis than you're going to get with this show. But one thing that I wanted to clear up for some of these Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fans that kind of go off the deep end, Travis and I said what we could say. We brought you something that no one else could bring you in the fact that Demo didn't have a quote with anybody else, didn't talk to anybody else. You guys are free to have the comments that you want to have at any time. But we'll have a discussion with you if they're valid. We also know things that we can't say. And I think that's what gets lost here. We're trying to do you a service by bringing you information. But we're also not going to sell someone out to the point where it hurts them in the future, and or we publicize information that is not supposed to be publicized until things are resolved. Because that doesn't fit your time frame or your timeline, and that bothers you to that degree, hey, sorry, but not sorry, because it's not something that we're going to do to try and jeopardize others. But the commentary that gets personal, that takes shots, that decides that it's necessary to try and be angry, vindictive, whatever, those are the things we don't need. That's when we talk about on this show the cowardly confidence of someone with a keyboard in their hands. Those are the things we can do without. And for those of you once and for all, too, that like to take shots about the Rockets and say that a couple of you last night had the audacity to say that I'm bitter. In fact, I'm better because of the fact that I don't work five jobs for the price of one. Because I don't have to answer to anybody and I can talk about four and five sports at a time and say whatever the hell I want. And I get to spend more time with my family. So I'm better, not bitter, and I want to make that very clear. I am honest about the Rockets, but I have said all along Harden was going to be an MVP candidate, and I really like this team. I like a lot of what they do, but what they do in the regular season doesn't translate to the postseason, and I, for one, right now am not a buyer when it comes to the Rockets being a contender. But that can change because I said there's also a trade deadline, and there's also things that can be done. So I want to clarify all that, and you guys can feel free to chime in. They've won 8 in a row. It's an impressive streak. They started with 14 of their first 20 on the road, and they survived. And someone said, asked me the question last night, are you a believer the Rockets are a top five team in the league? Right now, the record says they are. But if you ask me, are they in the postseason a top five? That's to be determined. I'm not there yet.
I mean, I'm amazed because the NBA tried to give us one because of the way the scheduling was. Yeah. So they survived it. Now they're playing really good basketball. I mean, I watched the Sacramento game, and it was just, I mean, why is Sacramento even playing
basketball? And if Boogie's not going to play.
Yeah. It's not going to be a game. But
at all.
But what I did like about the Rockets in that game, they handled business.
Yep.
They did not take a night off.
They didn't stoop down to the level of competition.
Yes, and they played well. What I am seeing is that everybody's in condition.
Yeah.
And got to give Coach Lucas a lot of credit. I mean, he's put those guys in position to be at their best because they're in top condition, you know, and most, and all the athletes know, Travis, Joel, you guys know, you can't be at your best unless you're in top condition.
And they weren't last year. Look, I mean, you're absolutely right. Harden came in 15 pounds overweight. It was documented how much time he spent with the Kardashians instead of keeping up with the Kardashians instead of keeping up with the treadmill or full court basketball. But it wasn't just him. I mean, Kevin McHale, in essence, and at least in part, lost his job because three quarters or more of his team came in 10 to 15 pounds overweight. That's not going to get it done in this league.
And that's not being a pro's pro. I mean, that's not being a pro because that's part of your job. Your job is to come in camp, in shape. And get in better shape
exactly
when you go through camp and go through the season.
Yeah, you're supposed to come in shape not and be in work shape.
Yes.
And then get into playing shape once you get to the point where, you know, I think for us it's a little different. Football shape, because we can't get the banging. The banging is part of our conditioning.
Sure,
right.
You know, that's something that you can't substitute in the offseason, no matter how many hills you run, no matter how many actual drills you run for your position-friendly drills.
Right.
You can't get into shape until you start feeling that pounding while you're doing that work. But for basketball, you have an opportunity to play full court basketball in the offseason. You had an opportunity to play competitive basketball. And with so much and one thing, so much basketball is being played by these guys nowadays. Yeah. When you talk about international play, you talk about the national team, summer league. Olympics, everything. When you talk about all of that, it's a lot of basketball. So there's almost no excuse outside of, let me take a break for a couple weeks and let my body rest. There should be never excuse to come in out of shape.
Oh, but there is. You know why? And I found this out. And again, we'll talk about this with Coach McHale when we get him on one time. One of the things that frustrated Kevin McHale beyond belief is the general managers and the front offices of basketball teams now have gone so far on hiring and listening to all these different trainers, all these different people that are supposedly experts. The experts came in 2 years ago and told Coach McHale, who wanted his guys playing full court for a month leading up to training camp, this is how you get knees and hips and backs to be run down. We think it's better if they get on ellipticals and bikes.
Really?
And try and save their knees. And he was just beyond himself because he's like, you don't get in basketball shape
unless you're playing
full court basketball.
Exactly.
No doubt.
But again, then you start talking about a hierarchy and realizing he was being told on a daily basis who was going to be available and who wasn't, even if he was talking to these people and expecting them to practice or play. That's when a coach gets frustrated too.
If I'm a coach, I'm really frustrated.
Yeah.
Just take our sport. If I'm a coach and I've been a coach and the trainer says, well, you know, he can't run routes. He can only do individual. Well, I need to see him in running routes and in this practice to see if I'm really going to play him on Saturday or Sunday. I mean, as a coach, that frustrates you. And I've talked to some head coaches in the pros and the football thing. In football, they don't have the control of it either. The trainers are controlling the conditioning and how much pounding they have, and it drives those coaches crazy.
Yes and no. It does now because of the new CBA. But back before this new CBA, the trainers really hadn't had no say-so. I mean, especially the ones that were already in the coach's pocket.
Right.
That's why you got a lot of the times coaches that come in and they fire the training staff. You're like, why'd you just fire this guy that's been here for 20 years? Well, they have no control of that guy. That guy cares about the players. We want guys that care about the program more than they care about the players.
Yeah, and the other thing is that, you know, they realize, as certain people hate to use the term, but it's true, they treat players more like assets now. They're protecting their assets, and that's what they're worried about. We got a lot more to get to. We got Calvin Watkins coming up at 1:30, so we can get you in on the conversation. If you have a question for Calvin, let us know. Plenty more on that discussion as well, and we will get to it all and more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Offense, defense, and special teams, we got you covered. It is Keenan McCardell. It is Travis Johnson. It is myself, special ed on special teams, Joel Blank. Behind the glass, it's Nick Sharara. And Nick is also the producer with the most contacts next to Ma Bell as he reached out and touched Calvin Watkins, hopefully not physically, but asked Calvin Watkins at the game the other night to join our show, and he was more than willing to do so, especially since he used to always shush me in my own workplace over the years. But, my friend, good to have you on the show. Good to talk Rockets, and welcome into the living room, as we like to call it, where the locker room and the barbershop meet to get to the chairs pulled up to the big screen and talk sports.
That's scary, but I'm ready to go. What's going on?
Well, I mean, you tell me. They got eight in a row. Obviously, the D'Antoni system has fit James to a T. I went out before the season and said he's going to have an MVP season because he's got motivation based on Charles and Shaq and all the criticism a year ago. The system fits him perfectly, and he does have some of the best court vision in the league. It's been a perfect fit, but overall, I think Eric Gordon's the guy that really should get a lot of the credit because he stepped up, and you know what you're going to get from James. He's been that unsung MVP because he's been huge for this team.
Yeah, Gordon is, you know, second in the league in scoring from players coming off the bench. And you can just tell he's healthy. He's happier. He's just playing so well. I mean, he's just an added boost to them off the bench. He started a couple of games for him when Beverly was recovering from his knee surgery. So, yeah, Eric Gordon, this is the Eric Gordon people in New Orleans were looking for. You know, a guy who can shoot off the dribble, catch and shoot guy, can penetrate, plays defense. You know, this is the guy they were looking for, and the Rockets got him because he's healthier and he's happy.
Calvin, I think, you know, that's what the New Orleans Pelicans were looking for, but the thing they wasn't looking for was the heavy Eric Gordon. I think he's in much better shape now. Would that be the thing that you say is the key to his resurgence of being that scorer, that guy that can dribble the ball off the, you know, just get to his position and make it and get his shot? Is that one of the key things that he's in shape?
Yeah. You know, Mike D'Antoni said it yesterday. He was like, when you're in better shape, you feel good about yourself and you're more confident in what you can do. And you know that as well. You see guys who come in bad shape the previous year, they just have a bad year, then the next year they come in shape and they have a great season. You know, you go, where was this at? Well, because they feel good about themselves, they're eating right, they're lifting weights like they're supposed to, and they already have the skills that can play at this level, and that was what Eric Gordon was all about, man. He is playing outstanding for the Rockets right now.
And I, you know what, and that's that, when you say that to me, all that is being a pro. You know, I think that your job is to be the best person and best player that you can be, and I think that's part of being in shape. And I think Eric Gordon has taken that like, hey, I am a true professional now. You know, I'm not saying that he wasn't in New Orleans, but he understands being a pro right now. That's one of the things, and that's maturing. And I think that's part of what he's done also.
Yeah, you know, as you get older as a professional athlete, whether in the NBA, NFL, or you're a baseball player, whatever it is, you begin to understand what's going on. You handle your money better, you know, you handle your family better, and then you handle your profession better on the field of play. And Eric Gordon is one of those guys that learned that. You know, he's not a bad guy by any means, but you just have to learn to be a pro. And for some guys, they get it right away. Others, it takes a couple of years. You know, and I asked this of Ryan Anderson, who played with Eric in New Orleans. When you're losing all the time, it wears on you. You know, yeah, you get paid millions of dollars, but you're a human being. And it's tough dealing with losing and injuries to other guys and the in and out of you know, the roster and those kinds of things, which is what they had in New Orleans, and it wears you down. And it can affect your play on the court. And that kind of messed up Eric Gordon a little bit. And now that he's in a better situation here in Houston, you can tell that he is happier, as we said, and he's playing better.
Well, Calvin, this is Travis here. I'm a defensive guy, so I'm going to ask you a defensive question. I mean, this team has given up almost 100 points every game, but I think but five of them. And are they really as bad as the points are saying they are, or are they just happen to be going up against some good offensive teams?
I think in today's NBA, everyone's scoring points.
Yep.
That's just what it is. Are they a better defensive team than they were last year? Yes, they are. Sometimes the numbers don't indicate that. But one of the things that they are doing is, when I look at them defensively, I look at the number of charges that they've drawn. And they're fifth in the league in charges drawn. That's because they're like, you know what? We're going to stand here. We're going to take it. We're going to take the contact because this possession means something to us. They got a much better rim protector in Clint Capella. Patrick Beverly he lost 17 pounds in the offseason. He had knee surgery. He's healthier. And he's always going to be a pest on the perimeter against guards. So he's helped them. I think Eric Gordon has helped them a little bit. James Harden is James Harden. He's never going to be a good defensive player. He's average, below average defensive player. But he cares a lot more about defense this year than he did last year. So then you also have Corey Brewer, who's a pretty good defender. You have Nene, who's also a good rim protector, a physical force in the paint. So the numbers are not going to really indicate that the Rockets have improved defensively per se, but they are a better defensive team just by watching them on a nightly basis. And as you guys know, in the NBA, everyone's scoring 100 points these days. It's no big deal. It's what it is. The days of holding someone to 89, 88 points, those nights is over with. That's not going to happen.
Unless you're playing the Kings.
Well, but I think, too, the Rockets are scoring so many points that you have no choice but to kind of compete with that, so you're going to get over 100.
Right.
But I think the big key, Calvin, correct me if I'm wrong, but the fact that last year you were counting on guys like Ariza and Beverly to actually have to contribute scoring. Now, because of Gordon, because of Anderson, they can do defense first, and then at the very worst, they end up getting spot-up shots with no hand in their face, no contest, and they're easier to make. That's when they're more effective. And the Pat Beverly addition, and like you said, he lost weight. He came in with a mindset of defend first. And just I go back to the play he made on Westbrook at the end of the OKC game, and then two nights later he does it again. You can see it's contagious, but their defensive effort has been night and day better simply because Ariza and Beverly can focus on the defensive end as a priority.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about Trevor. I mean, yeah, he's the guy who's gonna pick up the best offensive player at times if Beverly doesn't do it. You know, he's got long arms. He's talking about being a pro. He is a pro.
No doubt.
You know, there were a lot of times last year he guarded power forwards. Trevor Ariza can't guard power forwards on a regular basis, but he said, I'll do it because he knows about angles and positioning and that kind of thing. So he'll do it, and he's a pro. Yes, it is contagious when everyone buys in. You know, they have a defensive coordinator now, Jeff Buzdelic, who was a good defensive coach at Memphis last couple of years. So they have someone to talk to about defense. I think that helps the players when they say, you know what, I messed up on defense, so I have one coach who's going to tell me about it, who's going to help me. I think that also helps because Mike D'Antoni, he'll take care of the offense and the overall running of the team, and Buzdelic and Roy Rogers, they'll handle the defense. So I think that also helps the players. They know that they're going to be held accountable by somebody if they mess up on the defensive end.
Talking with Calvin Watkins, the beat writer for the Houston Rockets for ESPN. Calvin, one thing that I throw out to you guys in the know, the quote-unquote experts, and I threw it out to Rudy and Coach McHale yesterday as well. I like what this team is doing, but whether the Demo situation got resolved or not, I still think they have to have at least one guy that can go down in the post on the block and get you points, because in the playoffs, when things start getting muddled and mucky and half court as opposed to the, and I still will try, they'll still try and impose their will. I would like to see this team have at least one low post scorer that can at least get you two on the block and also defend, because we know that what Aldridge did a few years ago, when they put Aldridge and or Gasol on blocks, the Rockets got to have post defenders too.
Yeah, that's true. And my only problem with Donatus Matiunas, with all this drama for a guy who was going to come off the bench, and all this drama for a guy, and he has two back surgeries. He's a good player, back-to-the-basket guy. He's very smart. I like it, but there's just so much drama surrounding him, regardless of what it was, whether it was his fault, the Rockets' fault, the Nets' fault. It doesn't really matter. There's too much drama for him, in my opinion. Yeah, they do need another post presence. But I have also talked to people in the organization, and they would like to have another guard, another ball handler to take some pressure off Eric Gordon, Pat Beverly, and James Harden. So that surprises me as well. So I think they're thinking of different things. As of right now, if they stick with the same roster, our post guys would be Clint Capella and Nene. And I don't know if you have confidence in those two guys defending in the post or even scoring in the post when the games get muddled and as Kevin McHale used to say, when teams muck it up, so to speak. Right. You know, but but they could get a post guy. But I don't know if there's anybody out there for them to like. But as of right now, I think they would rather have another ball handler.
Really? Okay. So you see this team as everybody sees this team record-wise. It says they're a top five team in this league. When all is said and done, when we head into the playoffs, where's this team sit?
Well, that's a good question. I like them right now. They're like the third seed right now. If the season ended today, so they're 4 or 5. You know, because you know things are. You know, they're going to go through a tough stretch. Every team does. They're 4 or 5 seed right now. Right now, they're playing like a third seed, and I expect the Clippers to fall a little bit. Memphis is on a pretty good roll right now. It's going to be interesting. They should have home court in the first round of the playoffs. I think they're playing that well. They're a very good basketball team, probably better than what they're getting credit for.
Well, man, hey, we know you got a game to cover tonight, so we appreciate you taking some time, sharing some stories and talking some love, and we'd love to have you back throughout the season every now and then to catch up.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, man, it's just the Pelicans, man. It's no big deal. It's okay.
All right, well, you make sure that brow stays intact because he could do some damage tonight.
If he doesn't get hurt tripping over himself.
Oh, and then there's Calvin, that.
Hey, Kevin, you've been shooting.
I like him, but it is what it is.
Shots fired, then you keep
Gordon healthy, and they'll worry about keeping the brow safe.
Yes, sir. I agree. All right. I love the brow. All right, guys.
Calvin Watkins has been our guest, ESPN beat writer for the Rockets. Always good to hear from him and have him on. Guys, before we get to break, I want to tell you about Infuse Energy. Hey, at Infuse Energy, they don't sell electricity. They sell a relationship that's refreshingly honest, uncomplicated, and provides you with the energy you need. It's a brand that is honest, trustworthy. It's like a friend that's always there when you need to depend on them or you need to call them. They won't be a jerk. They're not going to try and screw you over. They're going to give you a program that's tailor-made for you, whether you're a business or a home, and you want to make sure that you get a plan tailor-made for your needs. Say you're never home during the day, but you're home a lot at night and on weekends. That's what the plan will be tailored for. If you got a business, you're open 8 to 5, but at night, you don't need it. And on weekends, it's a different time schedule. They'll get a plan for you just like that. 100% green energy at your fingertips. Sign up and choose a green plan. Offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint. CEO Josh Pesikoff, local guy, locally owned, locally operated, and make sure that you are taken care of. You ever have a customer service need or problem, you won't get a recording or an automated system. You'll get a human being that will be absolutely focused on you and only you and solving your problem. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit right off the top. It's 844-INFUSE2 or infuseenergy.com. Infuse a little energy into your life.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel and Keenan. Nice little touch there, Nick. Bringing in Calvin Watkins, ESPN Rockets beat writer. That was nice. Talking some Rockets.
Yeah, he does well.
He's good on air, which is great, too. And at the same time, he agrees with me, which is fantastic, which is why all those Kool-Aid drinking red rowdies, not red rowdies, they're smarter than that. But a lot of these people need to try and get their facts straight and listen to the show a little bit more so I don't have to spend time on Twitter at night. Corey, you've been waiting for a while. You want to talk about the Rockets? Yes, you did. Corey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I just wanted to agree with you all about the Rockets not being much of a lock in the postseason, and here's why. If you look at the game on Monday, I was there for that game. Brooklyn came back and put on a heck of a run in the fourth quarter and came back and got real, real close. The Rockets got real close to losing that game, and I think the stat that speaks most to me is if you look at Golden State, if you look at Toronto, you look at the Clippers, you look at Cleveland, and their difference in points per game. Golden State right now has an 11.7 plus difference over their games, and Houston has a 6.9. And when they came that close to losing that game against Brooklyn, who has a -8, that just doesn't bode well to me. It almost says to me that they don't have that killer mentality to go into the postseason and pull off games like that. I'll listen to y'all. Just want to get your take.
Great call, man. Great commentary, Corey. What's up? I'll let you guys chime in first. What do you think?
Well, I mean, like you said, I mean, when you get down to closing out games, that's something that you got to work on as the season goes. I mean, and like you said, Brooklyn put up a charge at the end, and if they can't close out the games and like what Travis was talking to Calvin about their defense, you know, I'm still up in the air about, you know, everybody's scoring 100 points. Yeah, you got to stop somebody. And that's how you close games out, by stopping people. And right now.
Well, but there's a difference, gang, because I think in years past, we would judge a team's defensive abilities, whether they were good or bad, by the 100-point mark. But when you see the shift in, we said it's not a big man's game anymore, but the teams in the East, you'd always say, well, they're going to slow it down. They're going to be half court. They're going to be big man oriented. There's just not the big men, like we were talking about, the big men these days, they want to all face the basket and shoot threes. Yeah. Even Anthony Davis or Blake Griffin, it bothers the hell out of me that two guys that could be dominant in this league if they went back and put their butts on the block, all they want to do is shoot jumpers.
Well, I think, your point. I'm just saying.
But they still have to be able to close out and play exactly. defense.
That's where it's key.
I don't care about...
That's what Beverly did the other night in that OKC game.
I don't care about the big man shooting threes. I understand all that. You got to contest that and finish that. I mean, down the line, when it gets playoff times, people are going to contest every shot and close out. Yeah. And this Swiss cheese defense that I see that's letting them score 100 points, and Calvin said, well, they've taking more charges, but they're still.
I don't buy that.
They still have open shots. Everybody's wide open when you play the Rockets.
Back
the
to
Rockets
what, I, what I've been continuing everybody. To say, which is it's not just a low post score that can get you two on the block, but Capella's light. You know, Nene's past his prime. You got and Demo was a horrible defender as much as he was a good offensive player because he couldn't put his body on someone and keep them from scoring in the low post. Now, if you talk about a team like San Antonio that's going to put Gasol and Aldridge on the block, you know Aldridge dropped double 40s on you a couple years ago, right?
Right.
Then you look at a team like the Clippers. DeAndre's not going to get the ball in the low post per se, but if you can't put a body on him, he's going to get a lot of easy baskets around on putbacks. And Blake, like I said, if he just focuses on putting his rear end back on that block, from a strength and athleticism performance standpoint, I don't think there's many guys in the league that can stop him.
Well, the Clippers, neither. I mean, those two big men with DeAndre, I tell people all the time, I'm probably the most disappointing player in the NBA is DeAndre Jordan. For the simple fact is, you are the most, outside of LeBron James, you are the most athletic person in this league, hands down.
He could be the most dominant person in the league.
No, there's no reason why you shouldn't dominate every game. There's no reason why you should barely be scoring 10 points a game, if that. And, I think you did. You gave the Rockets a compliment when you called Swiss cheese. I think they gooted. They stink.
Just to Calvin's point, though, there's only 9 teams that don't average 100 points a game.
But at the end of the day, how are you judged on your defense? How many points get scored?
But Mac, here's the thing: because I'm
that everybody's scoring over 100 points.
But that tells you. But that's what that tells you. There's no defense being played in the league.
How many teams are in the NBA?
30.
21 teams average over 100 points.
That's what I'm saying. I don't put any.
And those 9 teams, where are they ranked?
I don't know. In terms of what? Ranked in terms of what?
No, like standings.
Standings.
I don't have that in front of me.
Who are the 9 teams?
You've got Boston. You've got Indiana. You've got Oklahoma City that doesn't average 100 points a game. You've got
You're talking about they're playing defense and they don't average 100 points. Or are you talking about their offensive side?
I'm just referring to Calvin's point. Calvin's point was it's hard to stop teams from scoring 100 points a game. And I just think that's true because there's 21 teams.
You're looking at the offensive side. I'm looking at the defensive side.
I don't think it's hard to stop people from scoring 100 points a game. It's about pride. It's about taking pride in your
job. But I'm saying there's so many teams because it's a fast-paced league. Now it's a little man's game. So teams are going to score 100 points. That's why I don't put a barometer on the 100 points. But I'm in total agreement that what I put a barometer on, if I'm watching a game in the fourth quarter, you got to get stops.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to stop somebody when you have to, again, it's going to be an up-and-down game. And we look at everything from Rucker Park, Summer League, City League. Look. They score a lot of points. But when it gets down to it, when you got to get a stop, you got guys on. Kawhi Leonard is going to get a stop, right? There's guys that can be stoppers. The only thing I will give them credit for, as much as their defense, like I said, I'm worried about their low post defense. But Ariza and Beverly, what was the Brooklyn game, but they I saw them, and not the Sacramento game, but right after the Oklahoma City game and the Dallas game, I think it was. But it was a tighter game than it had to be. But Beverly in the fourth quarter and Ariza stepped up big defensively.
But here's my only rebuttal to what you're saying. If you can't get stops in the first, second, and third quarter, don't expect to get stops in the fourth quarter.
No doubt.
Because because you can't just say, I'm going to turn it on, I'm going to turn it off. That's not what being a pro is. It's doing it all the time. It's saying, you only play, what did they play, 48 minutes? You can't play hard for 48 minutes and say, you know what? I'm going to play hard on offense. I'm going to play hard on defense. When I'm in, if I can't go no more, I'm going to, tap my butt, send somebody else in, do the job. That's what being a pro is. So, I mean, you say all this good shooting is going on in the league and it's hard to stop. I know good and well when we used to watch basketball in the 80s and the 90s.
Right,
and
they play, it's a different era because they play so much up tempo. That's why I don't put a lot of stock in using that, holding teams to 100. I put more stock in how you defend a team to keep them from scoring buckets when you need to.
But see, here's the thing. Even though they play more up tempo, that's the style of the game. So you should be trained to defend that style of the game. That's what you came up in. That's the era you came up in. Just for back when where they slowed the game down. If you practicing this all the time, if you practice it enough, you'll get good at it. And if you're practicing enough and you're running back and forth and you're playing hard defense, if you're going back down on the side and you're playing good offense, that stuff translates to be able to make stops and to be able to do your job on both offense and defense.
Okay, we can agree to disagree because I just don't put a lot of stock in the century mark. But what I will say is, as quick as they get down the floor on offense, they absolutely have to get back on defense. And Calvin giving James Harden a pass is not acceptable either, because there have been plenty of opportunities to see on video lately where he just let his guy flat out go. And you can't do that, to Travis's point about there are times in every game where big defensive plays can happen if you set your mind to it. But the ones that I focus on the most are in the fourth quarter. If it's a tight game, you still got to get stops. They have guys that can do that. It's just, it's an overall mentality that I still think that is a work in progress. Maya, I see you out there, and I know who you are, so we're coming to you. Alberto, thanks for waiting. We'll get to you as well. Rockets dictating the early talk here on the show. We can do that and a whole lot more. We've got a lot to get to, including Nick picks, Richard Sherman and the Seahawks last night, Texans-Jags preview, and a whole lot more. So let's make sure you stick with us till 4, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.